The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, making absolute sure to match her wardrobe to her vitamin water, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Yes, that was my intention when I chose this shirt today.
It's interesting you went right for the clothing and not the intention of choosing the beverage. It's kind of interesting. It's a little biased there, don't you think?
I guess.
I mean, did this come from home? Did you buy it at work?
Refrigerator.
Yeah, I was upstairs in my office. Okay. I just buy a bunch of them and stick them in there.
Okay. So the first thing you did today was pick the clothing. So, yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Chronologically speaking.
Yes.
What are you reading in the VN?
I'm looking at the note that I've written you on the bottom of the VN.
Yes. It says, don't. Oh, okay. Yes. I will not forget. Very nice. Very, very nice. Won't forget at all.
Dan's reminder is better.
Yeah. Both together. I probably will not screw it up. To your left is Professor Dan Maggio from the First Organization.
What am I drinking?
I don't know.
You have to look at what I'm wearing first.
Oh, a coffee-colored sweater.
The better question is, what is Jim drinking?
What are you drinking? Sewer water?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what it is, but why is it in a paper bag?
Is that Starbucks?
No, it's Red Hook.
Oh, okay, sure. Red Hook. I think we've had this discussion before.
After a while, it's going to be more like a Left Hook.
Very, very close to Halloween, as in like Saturday the 1st. Starbucks converted over to all of their Christmas-themed packaging and stuff, and it was just kind of brutal.
Surprised they waited that long.
Yeah, that's quite true.
Oh, all the Christmas stuff is out at Meijer. It's great.
Yeah. Professor Jason Roach is here from the Department of Communication Studies. What's up?
What's up? Yep. My IQ.
Okay.
It's excellent. Always up from hanging around with smart people like you.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
There's only one way it could really go.
Zing.
Really? Wow. I don't think I can do much more with you there, Jason.
I don't even get it.
Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies.
Hello.
Where did that voice come from?
Jason.
Oh, I see. Very, very funny.
How's it going? He practiced it.
How's it going, Jim?
Well, so far so good, I suppose.
Yep. Only a few weeks to go, if you can believe it.
Oh, but there's too much to do in too few weeks.
Boy, that's the truth. 24 hours in the day, wish there were a few more.
Oh, yes.
Going at least one more week deeper, it's Professor Dave Chow at the College for Creative Studies.
Don't remind me.
You guys have to go right up to the week before Christmas.
Pretty much.
Yep. Ooh,
that's what we do.
Bad.
It's okay. Well, come on, I've got you coming down for Noel night soon enough.
That's right.
Our kids are waiting for you to spend money with them again.
That's the 6th of November. Yeah.
He's already aware.
December, I hope.
I mean, December.
Yes. Oh, good. Hey, it's actually...
We're past the 6th of November already.
It's to be St. Nicholas Day on the 6th, right?
Oh.
So that's a big
deal.
Sure,
if you say so.
Everybody put an orange in your shoe. Or do it for other people? I don't know.
Orange before you put your foot in or after?
It might help.
Yeah, it might help.
I'm going to match the orange juice with my orange clothing.
Oh, good idea. Good idea. I've got a few T-shirts I can help you out with. Professor Roy Finkenbein is here from History.
Hey, Matt. I'm apparently the one with my own ears today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay. You know, Diane's voice carries so well that you'll be able to hear her all the way from Arizona, I have a feeling.
Yeah. Yep. And I see her lovely picture, so.
Yes, exactly. With Dan's phone keeps timing out, and it's interesting the way
you're going away.
And coming back in.
And I can change it, so.
Oh, my God.
What is it now?
It's a home montage.
I better be careful to look ahead before I... We don't know. It was Johnny Mattresses on here.
Oh, my word. We have
another
guest panelist with us this week. Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is back from English. Not scared enough since her last visit returns.
I'm just here for the mug.
She's here for the mug.
Beautiful.
Hey, how come we don't have those?
I've been gifted with this lovely Ask the Professor mug.
It's a big deal, and other people can be gifted that way if they send us questions, you know?
Ooh. Perfect for your afternoon vodka.
Jim knows me really well. So.
She needs a bigger mug then.
Just about the right volume.
Not quite as cool as your Washington Girls Rock mug.
Yes. Do people know that both Beth and I went to the University of Washington?
I think we knew that. Mm. Yeah.
And we both drive Subarus.
And is it a purple mug?
It is.
I cannot imagine it would be any other color.
Separated at birth.
Yep. And last but most certainly not least, hailing all the way from Arizona, United States of America. It's Professor Diane Manica.
Good afternoon. How is everyone today?
Thanks for calling in, Diane.
It's my pleasure.
We don't usually do things with phones, so if everybody will give us the benefit of the doubt today, we're going to have fun, and maybe you could be calling into the show person listening to us sometime in the future.
And after we learn how to use phones, maybe we'll learn how to use computers, too.
And running water, and, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, this is a show, of course, where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can get a mug. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM or #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or find us on Facebook. I have a set of questions here, profs. These are ones you were talking about earlier, Roy. So it says, actually, this is you talking, Roy, so this is at least a little bit awkward. Aloha Van Camp of UDM's social work program threw a 60s party. During the party, she asked guests to participate in a trivia contest about the 60s. Yours truly aced these questions, more of a tribute to my advanced age than having lived through the 60s. I asked if she would pass the questions along for you, so here they are, with thanks and any prizes to Aloha Van Camp. Thanks, Roy.
And I shall recuse myself.
Okay, that's very nice of you to do.
It's not the 1860s, is it?
It is not.
Oh, okay.
But you know what?
Party like it's 1899.
I have a feeling Roy would ace those two. Oh, I just have probably a feeling about that. Who did Cassius Clay, soon to become Muhammad Ali, defeat to win his first heavyweight boxing championship in 1964?
Sonny Liston,
indeed. Absolutely.
And not Sonny Bono.
So. Not Sonny Bono.
So we all did good on that.
Although he did take one in the jaw, but that's
true. That is true. In 1966, Truman Capote published what book, the most controversial and acclaimed?
In True Blood.
In Cold Blood.
In Cold Blood.
Yes. So what was the deal with In Cold Blood? What was that about again?
It was about two murderers in Kansas and the family of four that they killed.
But it was a whole new
Nebraska.
Genre.
Yes. Yeah. It was the realistic, you know, sort of
non-fiction novel.
Non-fiction.
It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ooh.
Yep. Wilt Chamberlain led what team to its first NBA championship in 1967?
New York Knicks.
Not the Knicks.
No, Milwaukee.
Oh.
Not Milwaukee.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia 76ers, yes. Uncle Wilt. In what city was the 1968 Democratic National Convention
held? Chicago. Who can forget that?
Yes, amidst street protests and violence. The city of Chicago. What was the first James Bond film?
Dr. No.
Secret Service.
It was Dr. No, actually. Dr. No. Dr. Yes. In what film did Gregory Peck win the 1962 Best Actor
Oscar? To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, absolutely.
Ironically written by Harper Lee, who was best
friends
with
Truman Capote.
Oh, that's well done.
Sandra Bullock actually did a good job playing Harper Lee.
Oh.
Well, there were two films, right? One was Capote. I think that was the one with Philip Seymour.
Philip Seymour. That's a very good movie.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. But the other one had Toby Jones who played Capote. But Harper Lee was also a character in the film, and Sandra Bullock played her. She was pretty good.
Okay. Harper Lee's still alive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What film, based on a Broadway hit, won the Academy Award for Best Movie in 1961?
My Fair Lady?
Not My Fair Lady.
Sound of Music?
Not Sound of Music. You're in the wheelhouse.
Camelot?
Not Camelot.
Oklahoma?
No.
Sweet Charity?
Nope.
Music Man?
Nope.
Funny Girl?
No.
That was 68.
Nope. Oh, wow. That's got that
Mary Poppins
figured out. No, it wasn't. Okay, I want to be careful about this. It's a retelling of Romeo and Juliet.
West Side Story.
Yes, West Side Story.
Oh, okay.
Yep. What was the name of the eldest son in the 1960s TV sitcom My Three Sons?
Chip.
No, it wasn't Chip.
Ernie?
Robbie.
No, Robbie was the middle one.
There was one that graduated and moved away. I was going to say Chuck, but that's Happy Days.
That's Happy Days.
Gotta keep these in.
Yes.
Biff?
I'm always...
Apparently there were only two sons, right?
I'm always surprised when Professor Chow doesn't just jump in the sitcom stuff, you know?
I never watched My Three Sons that much. I just love the opening.
I can picture him in the short haircut.
Bill. Bill?
It wasn't Bill. It's a very common name.
Tom.
So often that in its nickname form, it's shared by our producer.
Mike.
Mike is the correct response. Oh, okay. At least that's what it says here.
I just remember the opening bit. That's all, with the hands and the shoes.
Yep, that's right. I wonder what the name of that song is. We get the research team.
My Three Sons.
Is it?
Yeah, My Three Sons theme song.
Okay.
I only know what Marie Runs song.
What British band recorded the song The House of the Rising Sun?
The Animals.
Yes, 1964.
Eric Burdon. I remember watching that on Shindig.
Shindig.
A live performance with all kinds of mood lighting behind.
What is Shindig?
Did they have the solid gold
American
dancers?
Bands back in the day.
They weren't dancing to that one.
All right.
Incense and Peppermints.
Great song.
The Andy Griffith Show, which ran from 1960 to 1968, was set in a fictional town, Mayberry, in what state?
North Carolina.
Yes.
It was Mount Airy, North Carolina, supposedly. I mean, that's where they got it from.
I wonder if they, did they film there as well, or it was just some back lot?
I'm sure they could use LA.
I think they would do a few set things somewhere in Western.
But those were California pines.
Yeah, those were California pines.
If you look really closely.
Even next to the old fishing hole. That's
was there a Mayberry and a Mayberry USA?
Mayberry RFD.
Mayberry RFD.
Yes, the sequel.
Thank you.
What was the name of Beaver Cleaver's school on Leave It to Beaver? You a Leave It to Beaver fan, Diane?
Actually, I watched it, but I don't remember any of the answers. It was too long ago.
West Side Juvenile Home for Bad Boys.
West Side. He's from the West Side.
Hogwarts?
No. Wilson Middle School.
Nope.
It's
named after the street it was on, named after one of our illustrious American presidents.
Franklin Delano.
Post-Civil War, like right post-Civil War.
Andrew Jackson?
Johnson.
It says Grant Avenue. Grammar.
Oh, that's right.
It says.
Grant Avenue School.
They were just there to learn grammar.
Yeah.
How boring.
Yeah. What actor, who has fathered equally famous actor sons, starred as an underwater investigator in the TV drama Sea Hunt? Which ran from 1958.
Oh,
Lloyd Bridges. Yeah, is the father.
Lloyd and Bo, and who's the other one?
Sea Hunt. Yes. Wow.
Jeff Bridges.
How many people attended the 1969 Woodstock Festival on Max Yazger's 600-acre farm in the Catskills?
Over 125,000.
I have a number larger than that, but in the same order of magnitude.
Over a million?
No, you know, it says here 400,000.
Or at least they say they attended.
Well, right? Yeah.
If they remembered.
Now about 12 million say they attended.
Yeah, exactly. I find being a member of Generation X after whatever they called it, Woodstock 95 or whatever, the Woodstock 2 that they had, that it's the exact opposite effect. People are like, no, I wasn't there.
we wouldn't attend. But Lollapalooza was a different matter.
Yeah, different matter, yes. What folk singer performed with Bob Dylan?
Joan Baez.
Wow. At the 1963 March on Washington. Yes, it was Joan Baez. Very well done. You guys are ripping through these just like I'm sure Roy did at this party that Aloha had. What country music star died in a 1963 plane crash?
Big Bopper?
What do you got, three?
No.
Buddy Holly?
I mean, these all might be true, but it's not what I'm looking for.
Country music star or country...
Roy Orbison?
Country music star. Initials PC. And I'll tell you what, you guys get some extra time because we have to take a break.
Pablo Cash.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
While we are taking a break, let's simply push the fact that we are at Tom's Tavern at 10093 West 7 Mile in Detroit, Michigan. And it is a great neighborhood tavern. It's been here since 1928. And it's still going strong. It has a wonderful ambiance.
Warm, friendly,
you name it.
Intimate is the operative word.
What else can we add?
Tilted floor.
White
tilted
floor.
That's right. That's right.
Last joint.
They don't have matchbooks. That's the only deficit that I see.
They have their names just out today.
And they don't revolve. You do.
That's right.
This thing does not revolve.
So remember, Tom's Tavern. When you're thirsty, when you're hungry, when you're lonely. Whatever. Tom's Tavern.
And normally those go together.
Well, speak for yourself anyway.
Right. When you really need a date. Yeah.
Where desperate people gather.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh, they've been here since before 1900.
Really?
Wow.
This building has been standing here?
They've had one owner since 1926 to 1991.
It was a stagecoach stop.
That is marvelous.
Wow. And it was still serving liquor during Prohibition, right?
That was the only way to do it.
All right.
Yay. Thank you very much.
This is an institution that knew there was a higher law.
Yes.
That I don't know. I've never seen.
That's the Jesuit tradition.
And we are back with some great questions from UDM Professor Aloha Van Camp from the Department of Social Work. One more question to go, revolving around the 60s, popular culture trivia. What country music star died in a 1963 plane crash?
Patsy Cline,
that is absolutely correct. 100%.
She predicted that.
Everybody passes.
If you remember, one of her hits was I Fall to Pieces. So.
Too soon? Too soon?
Jason liked it.
Of course Jason liked it.
Exactly.
Sick and twisted, but that's why.
That's right. We have another set of questions here. These are from the call for questions from a few weeks ago that I sent out. Pat Hego is one of our archive and special collections librarians at the library. Hi, Matt. Some UDM archive questions to test the panel. You guys ready?
Never.
Set. Go. Who was the first president of the University of Detroit? 1877 to 1880.
Father McNichols.
No, it wasn't McNichols. He was a number of years in.
Briggs?
McNichols was here.
Oh, there was the other campus.
Yeah, I think we're talking about downtown. Detroit College downtown.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What do I know?
Don't know. Father somebody.
Father O'Reilly.
I'm going to give you partial credit.
Second half, if they're
I'm giving
for
you partial credit.
Bing Crosby?
No, that's Gonzaga.
To a certain extent, all of us, maybe except for Professor Chow, have been in the president's dining room, which is not the president's possessive dining room. It's a picture of all the presidents around the wall. Is the very Reverend John Baptiste Meige was the first president of U of D.
Wow.
Did not know that.
What was the first team to officially represent U of D? What sport did they play?
Football?
Nope.
Basketball?
I think we've had this question before. It's good for a chuckle, but you guys should know this.
Shuffleboard?
It's baseball. It's baseball.
Oh.
And on May 23rd, 1895, the U of D team defeated the Polish Seminarians. There's no other record of there's no score and no other record of what that means, but it sounds hilarious.
The Polish Seminarians.
Those guys couldn't run because of the long robes, that's all.
Shows how much we know about our school.
Funny, huh?
Did our team play in cassocks too? Even up there?
I don't know. I do not know. In 1924, U of D officially changed its team name, its mascot, to the Titans. Do you remember what they were called leading up to that?
The Tigers.
The Tigers, yes. Name was not exclusive enough, and they would get confused with the Tiger baseball. Also, as the rumor says, we had a really great defensive line, and they were so large, they loomed like Titans back when
Illich probably made him change their name.
Probably. Sued him.
You think he was alive back then?
It seemed like
I better be careful what I say, or I may be barred from Kevin.
You're never going to be allowed to go see
I got to get a letter. Game. Dear Mr. Maggio, you may not enter campus anymore.
No baseball.
No box theater.
No pizza for you.
No soup for you.
No soup for you.
Dave DeBuscher was a U of D grad in 1962. Yes. He played professional basketball with the Pistons from 62 to 66. What other professional sport did he play? What team and what position did you know from 1962 to 63? In the middle of his tenure with the Pistons, he played for another professional sports team.
Was he baseball. Baseball.
He
White
played
Sox.
Baseball. He played
pitcher.
For the White Sox. He was a pitcher. Yes, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, one season. Pretty funky. Pretty funky.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
He led the way for Michael Jordan.
Oh, please.
He led the way for
Bo Jackson.
Yeah. Bo Jackson. Long before Bo Jackson.
I don't think we want to refer to Michael Jordan's
baseball career.
Yeah, and how do you like the golf imbroglio involving him?
Oh,
the
president got him back perfectly. Yeah.
Oh,
well, I wouldn't talk trash to Obama because you're not going to win that one.
Yeah,
of course he didn't.
Probably not.
His best trash talking, though, was when he was urged to have a drink with Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
He says, "You have a drink with Mitch McConnell."
Of course, now he says he's planning to.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of choice.
Some bourbon.
U of D varsity football ended in December 1964. Do you remember who the last opponent of that season was?
Was it the Seminarians again?
No.
And they came back for revenge?
It was. I can't believe you didn't go for the low-hanging fruit. It was the convent, Dave. It was the convent.
Okay.
No.
They might have a chance.
No, but it is one of our Jesuit brethren.
Loyola.
Nope.
Butler.
Nope. Butler is not a Jesuit.
Oh, my bad.
Boston College?
It was Boston College. Oh. Boston. We lost the game 17-9. Wow. That's just about the oddest score I can think of for a football game. It was not long afterwards they announced there would be no more varsity football. The students rioted, uprooted the goalposts, and threw them down into the lodge. They did.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I was there.
I remember you saying that before.
Was there a mattress involved?
So Detroit.
Who was singing?
Now, Diane, what do you remember about that day?
Hiding behind the biggest ball players I could so my parents wouldn't see me on TV.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. I remember the headline in the Free Press said something about hundreds brave the wind and cold to, like, horribly mar campus and vandalize the lodge. Oh, my gosh. That is wonderful. That's a wonderful piece of history there, Diane.
So Detroit. Yep.
You know, goalpost on the lodge might improve it.
Could hurt it. Yeesh.
Drop kick me, Jesus.
Yeah, through the goalpost of life. End over end through those righteous uprights. Jeez.
All I can think about when I see Boston College is my fair wife, who attended St. Mary's College, and of course that sort of automatically makes you a Notre Dame fan. Whenever BC comes to town, even though Touchdown Jesus is the mural on the side of the undergraduate library at Notre Dame, they literally, quite literally, in a religious way, viewed it as Mary versus Jesus. Whoever prays harder to God wins the game. And I'm like, this is so wrong on so many levels. You know, Our Lady of the Lake versus, you know, the Jesuits. Dun, dun, dun. So brutal. Who was the foundress, be careful here, of Mercy College of Detroit?
Jim knows. M.
Well, the last name does. It was the name of an old hall, unfortunately, on the old Outer Drive.
Marion.
Marion. No, Marion. It was. What was the other one, Diane?
Shares the last name with one of our political science professors.
Manning.
Yeah.
Mother Carmelita Manning.
Carmelita Manning.
Yes. Do you remember who the first president of MCD was? 1941 to 1951, considering the times. That's a big deal. Hmm. No ideas? It was Mary Patricia Garvey, President Garvey, and she was also a Sister of Mercy. Those are some great questions, Pat. Thanks for diving deep into the archives of both of our sponsoring institutions and rooting those out. All right. I have some Ask the Professor questions. I hope I don't get this wrong. There's no name attached to them, but I'm probably going to get in trouble if I don't mention Barbara Bowles, because I have a feeling they're from her. This is the type.
They involve ferrets.
No.
Who was around for the famous ferret episode? Anybody?
Ferret episode.
Michael was. Oh, yeah. We had like 20 questions on ferrets. Fortunately, Barbara... It was sent by somebody else, and Barbara was on the panel.
Oh.
And she answered like 18 of the 20 questions.
Wow. Ferrets? Wow.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I was here for that fateful day.
Ferret queen.
Saved by the bell, but not the ferret day. Oh, my gosh. Ask the professor to test your common knowledge. Here are some totally random questions that could spark interesting conversation. I think when you get this many people with this many letters after the last name in a room, there's going to be some interesting conversation. Cooks often use three basic ingredients for soups and stews. Many cooks call this combination what? Celery, carrots,
pastada. Mirepoix.
Pastada.
Liquor.
Mirepoix.
Sheer luck.
Pastada.
All these things are correct, but in English, they refer to it by a nickname.
You didn't say, your prep?
The Miracle Three.
No, the Miracle Three. They call them the Holy Trinity is what they call them.
Well, but in Louisiana, that's
Molary
green pepper, celery, and onion.
Yeah, this is celery, carrots, and onions in this case.
I demand credit for pastada, because I knew it.
Well, I'm not taking it from you.
The French term is the one that should be used.
Just kidding.
Okay. As a colonial province of France, the area now known as Michigan was part of what other current state?
Wisconsin.
Ohio?
Yeah, it was Ohio, was it?
Nope.
We've had
a colonial province of France.
Canada?
Oh, Quebec?
No, but you're getting
Ontario?
Close.
Ontario?
No.
Toronto.
Think Windsor. Colonial times. United States
Upper
of America.
Canada.
Montreal.
Upper Canada. Lower Canada.
Northern Louisiana.
That is what they called it. It was Louisiana, right? The whole area owned by the French was Louisiana.
Why not?
So.
Louisiana Purchase. Yeah. Okay. That was almost everything else.
For the record, source, the Pleasant Ridge Garden Club Michigan Week Celebration Quiz. You can't argue with the Pleasant Ridgers.
God forbid.
They have to rock out the sound of 696.
Yeah, they'd riot.
I know what we traded away to get the UP.
Toledo. What's
that? I remember that one. Yeah,
oh, Toledo. Yeah, the Toledo War. That makes sense. That makes sense.
It's a fair trade.
Why is the Earth hottest near its equator? There's two reasons you could, ways you could explain this.
It's the closest to the sun.
It's closer to the sun more often.
Okay. Yeah, I think that that's definitely
sunlight
part of it.
Direct. It's in sunlight more often?
Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, the fact that it is physically closer to the sun than, say, the North Pole isn't really relevant. The main reason is that the Earth curves less in the equatorial region. It's almost flat. Remember, it's actually not a sphere.
Oh, okay.
The same amount of sunlight is spread out over a smaller surface area. Also, the sun's rays have to pass through less atmosphere to reach it. So, that's sort of everything all together. Yes.
Sure.
For the record, the source for that, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I know there's one.
Not those Pleasant Ridge people yet, is it?
No, it's from Clausen. No, I'm just kidding.
Ferndale.
I've seen this before and been tempted to buy it, and then I flip through it, and somehow I get disenchanted. It's The Dangerous Book for Boys, if you've seen it before. Things that every boy should know. There's a girl's version, too. There's
I
a girl's
that was
version,
something
too.
Else, yeah.
Not the Anarchist Cookbook. Tennis and basketball are played on a court. American football and baseball are played on a field. What is soccer played on?
A pitch.
Pitch, absolutely. Name another sport that's played on a pitch.
Rugby.
Rugby, name another sport that's played
cricket.
On a pitch.
Cricket.
Lacrosse.
Field hockey.
Cricket.
I was going for Quidditch, but give me the clue. No, you're right, the pitch. That's right.
Technically, it's played in the air, so.
Over a pitch.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Over a pitch. There was all sorts of hilarity in the radio broadcast for the Lions game that was played in London, because at Wembley, technically, it's a pitch. So they were playing American football on a pitch instead of on a field.
Well, but it's not real football, so American football is not real football.
And it wasn't a real field. I was actually disturbed to see, because I guess I just haven't seen Wembley in a long time. Like, all these updates basically make it Soldier Field. It's... Yeah.
That's depressing.
Yeah, I'm sorry to end on such a negative note, but it is way more like an American arena now than anything else. Yeah.
Oh, my.
I'm afraid we're going to have to say goodbye now, Professor Manica.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure. Enjoy your nice, cool weather there.
What are you talking about?
It's 80 degrees outside.
Enjoy your heat wave there.
Enjoy your Gila monster.
The weather outside is
scorpion.
Perfect.
Say hello to the rattlesnakes for us.
Professor Hill Vasquez. it's time to say goodbye, Heather.
Sorry, I don't want to say goodbye.
I know, you got to.
Goodbye.
Professor Finkenbein.
When's our ATP road trip to Scottsdale?
Oh, man. Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tufts.
Bye.
Professor Roach. What's your name?
What's your name? Oh,
Professor Roach.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Thanks for remembering my name.
Professor Oljar.
Goodbye.
And now these words, thankfully, from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.